But right now, I have Miriam Ortiz-Pino in the studio. Miriam Ortiz-Pino from More Than Organized. And we're going to talk about if you would want to work from home, how to organize a home office, and how to take care of what you need to do if you, in the future, because I think a lot of people are going to be working from home, according to what they've been saying. So welcome, Miriam.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Well, why don't you just tell us a little sort of step-by-step thing first, and then I'll ask you the questions I have.
Okay. Well, first of all, mostly working from home involves maximizing your time so that you can be more effective, not just productive. So there's quite a few ways to really make it easier to get a lot of things done if you just set up in the first place so that you have things easily accessible and you have the right tools for the job. There's nothing worse than being in the middle of a project and making do with the wrong thing that takes twice as long and doesn't give you the result you wanted anyway. So you want
to have. And you don't have an office manager anymore to do those things.
Right. So you got to remember to build in the time to get the right tools for the job if you don't have them.
Okay.
But yeah, having the right tool for the job just makes it faster and easier and gives you a better result in the long run. And then you want to learn how to batch your tasks so that you're doing like things together instead of making a call now and then working on something else for a while and then making another call later and then making another call a while later. When you're in a different headspace because you've been working on something else, you want to just have a list of all the calls you need to make and just make them one after another in a row. It'll save you a whole bunch of time. First of all, you're going to be leaving voicemail messages for 2/3 of the calls. But the same thing with email. You know, you'll be in the right headspace. You'll have the right app open. You'll be working on that kind of thing. So it speeds up and saves you a little bit of time here and there to batch your tasks.
Okay, batch your task.
Using a timer is really handy as well when you're working from home. It can be beneficial in the workplace too, but it's a little bit easier to do it. A little less obtrusive on the other people in the office. But setting a timer allows you to kind of build in those weird artificial deadlines that exist when you're in the workplace. You know, well, I've got to get this done before my meeting with so-and-so, or I've got to do this before I'm expected to go to lunch. Like all those expectations that go out the window around your schedule. If you set a timer to set up some artificial time frame on your day, it'll help you get more done.
I can imagine that you could end up doing one thing and have it stretch out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it works both ways. Either you're going to be working on too many little things and never taking a break and therefore getting really tired and cranky, or you will get super hyper focused on one thing that just doesn't actually need quite that much attention. And it's just a way to nicely orient yourself. And if you're ADD at all or have any kind of executive function struggle, it can help. The Pomodoro technique has been really helpful for all those kinds of people. So it's when you set the timer for 20 or 30 minutes, or if you really struggle for like 5 or 10 minutes until you build up, but then just letting the alarm go off, checking in, resetting it, making sure you're still working on the right thing and then moving on to the next. Hmm. And you can build in little breaks. I like 2 minutes for every 20 minutes you are working.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Helps
so
the focus.
You can stand up.
Yeah, exactly. I usually go refill my coffee. So the timer is good. Another way to think about it is that pre-prepping, kind of what you alluded to before. You know, sometimes you have an assistant or an employee or something that has been setting things up for you, and all of a sudden when you're on your own, you're doing the setup. So just think ahead of time a little bit to pre-prep, especially if you're going on a trip or a vacation and you're going to be away for a while, but also just to be in the same mind frame, like for batching tasks. If you're writing a newsletter, maybe go ahead and jumpstart the next one so that it's pre-populated with as much as possible, so the next time you actually go to do the newsletter, it's halfway done already. Mm. Or, you know, write a bunch of blog posts or reach out to a few extra people a day till you fill your schedule. Those kinds of things can help the future you save time. Yeah. And then always think about what's essential. You know, we often work, especially when we start working for ourselves in the home or on the road, it's easy to work on a bunch of little busy tasks that aren't actually moving you forward in terms of your work or your project. So y'all know I talk a lot about home and work balance, and that if you take a little more holistic approach, neither feels that far away at any given point. But using whatever is going to be either like a keystone task or something that's going to move you forward overall forward is the thing to work on, not just the busy work of, oh, I should sort my paperclips now, or, oh, I should rearrange my post-its, or, oh, I should write, you know, a couple thank you notes every morning. Yes, that might be great. But if you batched it and did 12 a week in one batch, it might be faster. And then you could be spending that time writing your book or painting a painting or, you know, making sales calls, something like that. So just make sure you're always focused on the bigger picture. When you start working for yourself, you're not the technician anymore. You are the business owner. So you have to take a little bit broader view of, oh, it's about the money first, and then all the other little things can get fine-tuned.
But if you don't spend time setting things up, I mean, I would think getting the computer organized would probably be the most time-consuming.
Yeah, but so what
or
I'm talking about more than
that you need.
Looking at your phone every time a notification goes off and thinking, oh, people want me. Maybe batch that stuff while you're writing the report that's going to get you the $20,000 contract. Then you have a little bit more freedom and flexibility to put your, what is my email and communication schedule plan? You just want to pick the thing that's going to move the overall ball down the court the farthest.
Oh, okay.
As your main focus.
So you don't do your plan for doing emails as the first thing that you do. You get something done in your sort of scheme of things.
Yes and no. You know, time management is an art and a science. So while, yes, I suggest picking your biggest focus for the day, you also have to do all the routine things.
Oh.
Whether you do those first or second is more a function of what kind of person you are. I actually like doing three of my routine action stacks in the morning, working on a project, and then doing the other two or three at the end of the day. So, but that's because I'm kind of not as clear thinking in the middle of the day. Like my brain just goes, I don't want to talk to people. I can't communicate well, but I'm very internally thinking and piecing things together. So it's easier for me to do a project in the middle of the day.
Oh, so some you have people, to know yourself.
You have to know where your focus time is so that you are using that appropriately. For me, it takes more focus to talk to people and write than it does to work on an organizing project. Okay. So my clients are in the day because I'm moving stuff around. I don't have to think about it on the same level as writing a marketing piece or calling potential new clients. So just keep that in mind. You can play around with it a little bit, but the trick is you always do your routines, then a block of project time. And that's the thing that has to be the focus. And then even within your routines, who are you calling? Are you calling a bunch of people for coffee dates that aren't going to lead to any clients? Are you calling old clients to schedule a new appointment? Are you calling people to get media attention to get more clients? You know, those kind of things too. You call on your family to just chat about how great it is working for yourself. There's a lot of different ways you can go with what the specific tasks, even doing your routine, are.
Okay.
Okay. So that's mostly how you would set up your mind around how to work better from home.
Do you have any idea what kind of person who has been working in an office has the hardest time making that jump to working from home? Like what kind of personality, I guess?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I've ever looked at it that way before. What I see a lot is women who lack confidence, and they want to start a business really bad, and they'll get up enough courage to quit their job, and they're going to do their thing, and then they can't talk about themselves. So they have a really hard time marketing, and then they can't get any business because they can't talk
they
about
can't
themselves.
They
don't like to sell. So I'm going to be in business. I work for myself, but I'm not going to sell myself, so no one's going to know about me. I'm the best kept secret kind of mindset around that, which is sad because it's really easy. If you're really good at what you do, you just say, I'm really good. I can organize a hamster out of a wheel. I don't know. So you just got to kind of figure out where you're weak and study a little bit of that.
Oh, rather than where you're strong.
It's easier to improve your strengths and hire out your weaknesses. But in terms of confidence, you do just have to kind of gather your wits a little bit about that and practice till you get it.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
And then a lot of people who've had assistants, like hire professionals that go out into consulting gigs and things, who've had assistants, all of a sudden realize how many little details they weren't actually taking care of themselves before.
Oh.
Those are probably the two that struggle with it the most.
Okay.
Yeah. All those are really easy solves, though, if you just take a little bit of time to kind of break down, okay, why is it going wrong? What's happening? It's always a learning process. 17 years in, I'm still learning how to run my business. So I don't know. So another place you can really save a lot of time is delegating what you're not good at. You can't delegate confidence, unfortunately. That's the one you have to do yourself. But you can delegate a lot of the other stuff. Someone pre-sorting your emails. You can designate someone actually putting out your newsletters for you. That way you can focus on the stuff that's got to be you, like writing in your voice or coming up with the messaging or creating the packages or delivering the actual classes or the sales or whatever it is you do.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
You can actually get someone to organize your emails?
Yeah. You just get a virtual assistant and you tell them, you create, help them with them. You can create canned responses to the basic inquiries you get via email.
Oh, I see.
They can, you know, shoot all the newsletters into a folder and answer many of the client questions themselves without you ever seeing it, and then just forward the stuff that has to be you making the decision about it. Yeah.
Good.
I don't do that yet, but I hear it's fabulous. So yeah, you can delegate as much as you can as you grow and scale up. And then you can make as much of it fun as possible. You know, like, so if, even if it's part of your family, there's nothing that says now that you work from home, you have to be the person that still does all the laundry. You can start teaching your kids to do the laundry or someone else. So you can delegate the household stuff first if you want. And so you can focus on your business or vice versa. And then you're saving even more time.
Are you finding that women, that there are more and more women who want to start working from home?
Yes, because it gives them flexibility to deal with their kids. Yeah. Many of my friends in town run their own businesses, and it's semi-part-time. Like, it's full-time, but at very flex time. So mm-hmm. they're working late at night. They're working early in the morning. They're running their kids to school. They're working at lunch, picking up their kids, making dinner, working a few more hours in the evening. So they're piecing together 6 or 8 hours a day to do their work, but it's not between 8 and 5.
Well, I think there was a time when women were doing that, were starting businesses because they couldn't get good jobs. You know, they couldn't get where they wanted to go working for companies, and they couldn't find companies that would respond to their needs, and so they decided to do their own businesses. And I have a feeling that that's changed now, and that women are doing it more because they want to do their own business rather than because they're dissatisfied with what they find in the workplace.
Yeah, and the definition of what is good job and what is good work are very different as well than they used to be.
Oh.
I find, especially with the younger people, it doesn't even occur to them to go into the trades or go into professional arena. It's entrepreneurial.
Oh, really?
or alternative. Like, how can I make a bunch of money without actually working? or not doing much work or working on something I'm extremely passionate about. So it's definitely a different thing. I mean, I grew up always thinking I was going to go into a profession, and then being in college, realizing I don't think I like working for other people.
No.
And then having to figure it out.
That's interesting. I've never asked you that.
Yeah, I don't really. I'm kind of what the term is, unemployable.
I'm talking to Miriam Ortiz-Pino, and we're from More Than Organized, and we're talking about starting your own business, because a lot of people will be wanting to do that, I think, especially a lot of women.
Yeah.
In the future of work.
Yeah, so the one other thing I would probably say about it is when you do go to work at your own house, did you set up a space to work in? because that's often such an afterthought. I'm going to start my own business. And then like 3 weeks in, you're like, well, where do you work? Oh, on the couch, on the coffee table, on the dining room table, on the thing. And none of those are wrong. But it didn't occur to them to put the things they need to do their job near that area. So just make sure you define your space, your workspace, whether it's in a closet, in the bedroom, in the dining room, if you have an actual home office, or if you work at a Starbucks and you need a portable kit of some sort in your car, whatever it is, just make sure you define it as business only.
Oh, okay.
Helps you feel more confident. You know, it's kind of like sometimes when I make calls and I'm in my yoga pants, I still put on my fancy shoes so I feel more professional.
Okay, good.
There's tricks.
Okay, well, I think that this discussion will probably go on and on.
Yeah.